From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
So Q2, call it.
Well, it's a hard one to call, actually. Margins for error on this have been quite wide recently on calling GDP. I reckon let's go 1.4.
Okay, in the middle.
1.4, second quarter in the middle. So, yeah, now GDP, Mike, in many circles, historically recognised as the main report card for the economy, but that position is being questioned a little bit, with many people now wanting to broaden that report card to include well-being measures. And while I think there is value in recognising different outcomes, there's really no broadly accepted measure yet. So I think GDP continues to be an important one. It's second quarter, it is rear vision mirror stuff, but think about, just on that note, think about how often we benchmark other indicators against GDP, so current account, debt levels, etc. So it's pretty important anyway. So expectations are quite wide, 1.2 to 1.7 I've seen. The August MPS, or the monetary policy statement by the RBNZ, they were forecasting 0.7, so the private sector have lifted those expectations. A wee reminder, the first quarter was 1.6, so conceivably, if we get sort of towards the top end of the expected range, we're going to get 3% growth for the first half of the year. That's robust.
Q3 might fix that though, eh?
I think it will, yes. But an outcome in sort of that range, we'll see annual growth at around 16%. Now, we're getting big contributions from things like retail trade, manufacturing, services sector, and, of course, construction. Construction is, of course, of specific interest because it has that flow-on effect, if you think about it. You know, residential construction, you've then got to go and buy household goods, the durables, landscaping. Household income growth has helped as well. So we're seeing wage growth. That helps. Look, the elimination strategy, Mike, in the short term, it kept COVID out and it did allow the bulk of the economy to sort of keep going in the short term. Of course, it's lockdowns have decimated hospo, decimated travel, decimated the events industry, but internally focused sectors kept going, although at the same time creating these medium and long-term issues around things like labour supply and hollowing out those industries that won't be able to react when, you know, things like border crossing becomes normalised. So it's rear vision, but it does point to strong momentum leading into the third quarter. Now, you talked about third quarter, Mike, and just to give you all this context here, Q3 could be -6, -7. And then there's this big question mark over what is the fourth quarter rebound, and lots of scope to get those predictions wrong. You don't have to be a mathematician, Mike, to work out how many days we're going to need at current run rates to get close to the suggested levels of vaccination where lockdown 4 is not the initial response. So there's plenty of COVID risk still, I think, between now and the end of the year.
Then we got the balance of payments. This deficit's widening.
It is. Now, firstly, current accounts, so balance of payments, what is it? Well, it records our transactions with the rest of the world. So think goods and services that we buy and sell with external parties. It does include the trickier aspect of financial transactions as well. But there's a couple of aspects here, Mike. There's what's happening in the quarter and what's happening over the 12 months. Now, we are running a deficit at the moment. So we're buying, we're consuming, we're using more than we sell. Now, the quarterly current account deficit has narrowed, and we've talked quite a bit about an increase in the value of the goods exported in that quarter, Mike, I think all the commodity prices. But the annual current account deficit has widened, and it's widened a lot. $11.2 billion, that's $6.4 billion wider than at this time last year, and we could see bigger deficits going forward. So it's 3.3% of GDP, lots of provisions, revisions to previous data. Why is it widening? Plenty of demand for imported products, and you've got things like the lack of international tourism. That affects the balance as well. And, of course, it's got to be funded from somewhere. That's where borrowing comes in, Mike.
Numbers, please.
34,794 on the Dow Jones. So it's up overnight, up 215 points as we speak. That's about 0.6%. The S&P 500, 4,476, up 3/4% gain there. And the NASDAQ, 15,128, up 90 points, also about 0.6%. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 18,7016. The Nikkei lost 158 points, 30511. Shanghai Composite down 6, 3656 was the close. And sort of quietish days in Australasia, the ASX 200 down 20, 7417. And the NZX 50 down 9, 13,099 on the currencies. On the wholesale markets, 0.707103 US, 0.9692 Aussie, 0.6015 Euro, £0.5134, 77.74 yen. Gold, $1,792.50. And US crude stockpiles fell, so the Brent crude is legged up, $75.52.
You have a good one, mate. See you tomorrow. Catch up on Friday. JMIWealth.co.nz. The wondrous, wonderful, and one and only Andrew Kelleher.